morning, folks, on Audioboo, and it is when I'm recording now. I'm just responding to a post I put up the other week about would you have plastic surgery? Plus, I'm going to put some more news items up and ideas for discussion. So here goes. And now I said, would you, as a visually impaired person, consider having plastic surgery or cosmetic surgery, which I prefer the term? In my opinion only, I probably wouldn't unless I'd had some kind of accident or facial injury or whatever. Apart from that, I don't think I would. But that's a short answer to that. And I'll move on to the first news item that I've come across. I've come across quite a few this week, This is probably one that's most recent and it's been recorded in the Mail. And just bear in mind, the Mail isn't always considered as a... It's considered as a bit of a... what do you call them? Oh, tabloid, sorry. but this is an interesting article I'm about to read to you. Why lifting weights at a gym may harm your eyesight. Tens of thousands of people with undiagnosed glaucoma risk blindness if they play wind instruments or pump heavy weights in the gym, according to a leading eye expert. The lack of a screening programme means more than half the 600,000 people in Britain who have the condition do not know their eyesight is at risk, says Professor Dan Reinstein, an eye surgeon at the London Vision Clinic in Harley Street. Though glaucoma has a genetic link, many people will be unknowingly bringing on the damage or speeding it up with hobbies that increase pressure in the eyes. Glaucoma occurs when liquid in the eye doesn't drain properly. The front of the eye is filled with a clear fluid called aqueous. This constantly circulates in the eye and back into the bloodstream at a constant pressure, helping the eyes retain their shape as well as delivering nutrients. However, in people with glaucoma, this aqueous does not drain properly through a small sieve-like area called the trabecular meshwork. It said over time, for reasons not fully understood, the network of drainage tubes gets clogged. The fluid builds up, putting pressure on the optic nerve, causing the nerve fibres inside to die off, leading to sight loss. The process is painless, and superficially the eyes don't look different, so there is no way to spot the changes without an in-depth examination. The risk is that when symptoms such as a narrowing field of vision do appear, they are not spotted until the optic nerve is irreparably damaged. By then, some sufferers will have made the condition worse by taking part in activities that increase pressure in the eye. Continuing these activities could make the damage worse because once the optic nerve starts to deteriorate, it becomes even more vulnerable. Musicians who play wind instruments that demand a lot of blowing and breath control are most at risk, according to research in the journal Optometry and Vision Science in 2008. Straining while holding your breath constricts blood vessels in the chest, neck and head, which raises pressure in the eye. A study published in Graves Archive for Clinical and Experimental Ophthalmology in 2011 found that the pressure in the eyes of brass players significantly increased when they tried to sustain high-pitched notes. In another study, a team at Glasgow Caledonian University found that bagpipe players put their eyeballs under significant stress. As a result, the Royal Scottish Academy of Music and Drama in Glasgow is advising students to attend eye clinics regularly. Lifting heavy weights can also carry a risk in those vulnerable to glaucoma. Research over 20 years by the Manhattan Eye, Ear and Throat Hospital found the puffing and blowing involved in bench pressing increases the compression of the optic nerve, especially if you hold your breath. And other activities such as bungee jumping can aggravate the condition. Risk is higher for regular activities carried out for long periods. Robert Rich, a professor of clinical ophthalmology at the hospital, treated one patient who became blind after repeatedly doing headstands and yoga. He says weightlifters can reduce the pressure by breathing out when they lift. Professor Reinstein, who, as a jazz saxophonist, has a special interest in the area, says these surges in pressure are not a problem if you have healthy eyes. But for people predisposed to glaucoma or suffering from it, they are harming their vision without realising it by increasing pressure on the optic nerve. They can lose 70% of peripheral vision in one eye before they know what's happening, as the other eye will compensate. Treatment for the disease includes daily eye drops to improve drainage and reduce the amount of fluid produced. In some cases, surgery to open up drainage holes may be recommended. But even with medication or surgery, the condition continues to attack the optic nerve and cause gradual vision loss. By the time patients develop blind spots on the side of their field of vision, much of the damage has been done. Glaucoma is a silent killer of the eye, which can be made worse by activities such as lifting weights or playing wind instruments, says Professor Einstein. People in these groups need to know they need proper screening and monitoring, because spotting the early signs can prevent significant damage. Those with a family history of glaucoma should be vigilant, but be warned that many people are lulled into a false sense of security because they believe a routine eye test at high street opticians will detect any serious problems. It's essential that people over the age of 40 get in-depth eye examinations by an optometrist, not just a routine sight test at a conveyor belt optician, he says. Everyone should have proper eye exams, once in their 20s, once in their 30s, and then every 2 to 3 years after the age of 40. Now, that is an absolutely fascinating article. The question I have for you is, there's two tiers I could go on this, so it's up to you whether you take one or the other. Do you exercise as a visually impaired person? And if you do, what do you do? Does this information that's been given put you off exercising or weightlifting or even playing a musical instrument? Because I can say personally, I have glaucoma. I have been diagnosed with glaucoma, and I did play clarinet at school, which is interesting. And the second question I have is, would you be put off doing these things as if there is a risk of glaucoma? I think there was another one, but no, I think that was the two questions related to that. So you could do one or the other or both. Or right, I'll pause to find out what the other articles I had found to conclude. Now, this article has been all over the media, so I only read the first paragraph. Jo Milne, deaf woman, hears for the first time. An amazing world of sound has been opened up to a woman who had been deaf for almost 40 years. Jo Milne was born with a rare disease, Usher syndrome, which left her profoundly deaf and with sight problems that mean she is now registered blind. In it, Miss Milne cannot hold back the tears as she hears a human voice for the first time. A nurse reciting the days of the week and the months of the year. Now, my question for you is, what would you, if you were to suggest, I'll try again. If you could see, if you haven't been able to see, what would you like to be able to see if you could see? And if you have been able to see and lost your sight, what is it you miss seeing? And because it's a bit of lateral, because it's not a, this is about a woman who's been deaf and now can hear again due to the cochlear implant she's had, which many people don't know. And I actually, when I see that name, does ring a bell, and I don't really know why. So I would say, you know, what would you want to see? If you haven't been able to see before, what would you? And you might may say, nothing. There's nothing I would like to see. I've never been able to see. I can think of a few ideas that people come up with on that one. But if you have been able to see and you've lost your sight, what would you love to be able to see again? You know, what was if you could only see one thing, what would it be? What would be the first thing you'd want to see? Anyone else who's even sighted who would say what thing they think a person who's visually impaired should see for the first time if they got their sight back? Only hypothetically, obviously, because most of us, as you know, it's very rarely that people have their sight restored completely. So, right. This is an article in the Lisbon Star, Ulster Star. But it's a very interesting article, but I'm not going to ask to comment on this unless you want to. Workers given visual awareness training. Visual awareness training is being delivered to the public realm workers in Lisbon this week, after a blind woman walked through a construction site in the city. A spokesperson for Lisbon in Focus, RNIB Northern Ireland, said visual awareness training is being delivered to the contractor's staff, so hopefully the men who are working on the streets will be more aware of additional needs that blind and partially sighted street users have and be comfortable guiding them and detecting the route they may need to take to get to their desired destination. The move comes after Joanna Toner, who lives near Longstone, with her husband Barry, who is also blind, said the works had left her feeling confused and her confidence and feeling of independence badly shaken. Joanna said, "I have been confused by the workmen taking away tactile paving, and I have been hampered in my attempts to avoid the worst of the work by the water service suddenly starting to dig up another section of the town. I'm at my wit's end, and my confidence and independence have been badly shaken." Feeling frustrated, Joanna asked Logan Valley MP Geoffrey Donaldson to go for a walk with her around the city to see for himself the difficulties facing blind and partially sighted people. Speaking after his walkabouts with Joanna, Mr Donaldson said that in the short term, more needs to be done to facilitate people to move more freely through the pedestrian area without facing major obstacles. Mr Donaldson said it was unacceptable that Joanna wandered into a construction site, saying she could have been seriously injured. He said that he's arranging for Joanna and her colleagues to meet with the city centre management and council to see what steps can be taken in a short term and to discuss adequate provision in terms of the environmental scheme for Bow Street and Market Square, including footpaths and crossing points. A spokesman for Lisbon City Management commented, "LCCM continues to host regular meetings where local retailers and organisations such as Lisbon in Focus have an opportunity to put their concerns to the public realm contractors, the project management and their council. At the most recent meeting, the contractor agreed that all the workers on the scheme would take part in special visual awareness training organised by Lisbon in Focus, and we hope to see that happening within the coming days." An article from the BBC here. This is just loaded today. One of the people featured in this article I do know, which is interesting. Motorists should be banned from Headline, pavement parking banned by call by a guide dog charity. Now, I know this is being featured a bit on the iTalk as well. So I'm going to read the article that was on the BBC. Motorists should be banned from parking on pavements because practice forces vulnerable pedestrians to walk in the road, campaigners have said. Charity guide dogs say blocking the pavement, especially for blind people, is inconsiderate and dangerous. There is already a ban on parking on footways on most London streets. A poll for the charity suggests 7 out of 10 people want restrictions for the rest of the country, and 8 out of 10 councillors would back a new law. Susan Williamson, who is completely blind in one eye and partially sighted in the other, said, "Stepping out to get round vehicles is really intimidating. It's a constant concern which me and my husband, who is in a wheelchair, face every day, and it would be so easily solved by parking on pavements being prevented by law. Real danger." Her concerns were echoed by James White, Guide Dogs Campaigns Manager. "It can be frightening for anyone who is forced to step into a road because a pavement is blocked by a van, car or other badly parked vehicles," he said. "Now imagine you have to step into a road where you can't see oncoming traffic. Want politicians to act preventing this form of inconsiderate and dangerous parking?" Opinion pollsters YouGov carried out the survey for the charity, questioning 2,352 people in England, Scotland and Wales. Separately, 407 councillors in England and Wales were polled to gauge the views of local government. Peter Box, chairman of the Local Government Association's Economy and Transport Board, said, "Inconsiderate drivers parking on pavements cause huge inconvenience and pose real dangers to blind or partially sighted people and wheelchair users." "That is why councils fully support the call for a new law to end the current confusion caused by different rules for motorists parking inside the capital and around the rest of the country." I know on this article, apparently, there were 1,091 comments. You know, so it's worth noting. And Sue is somebody who I know, and she was on Breakfast TV this morning, actually. It would be on Sunday the 30th, wasn't it? 30th March on Breakfast TV. So that's worth, I just thought I'd worth mentioning that to you. I've also posted it on my Facebook page, those of you who are on my Facebook, so if you want to see the article in full, you're welcome to look at it. And my final story, which is not included, I'm not going to read it out, but I saw it and it's gone now, but I do remember it. It was an article about this couple who met, they met through training for guide dogs, and the guide dogs actually really bonded with each other, and it was through their bonding with their guide dogs that they met and fell in love, basically. My question for you on this discussion topic is, have you had met anybody as a result of being visually impaired, or lost, found friends through being visually impaired, or have you lost friends being as a result of being visually impaired? Has it been, having a guide dog helped you gain more friends if you've got a guide dog, for instance? Right, I think that'll do for all the topics and news stories for this week. So I'm sorry about the delay in bringing them sooner, but, you know, these things happen. So I hope you all have a good week, and I'll report back next week, sometime next week, with more news items. It gives you enough time to come back on various comments and feedback on any of the items. Just even if you want to comment on the other news items I've mentioned and I've not asked for discussion, you can if you want to, or comment on previous discussions I've raised. So I'll say bye for now and speak to you next week.